There can be a lot of waste in our life if it's not reflecting Christ. And that's why we pray for the refining fire. John 15, take your Bible and turn there tonight if you will, please. John 15. Before we read the passage, just a couple of questions. Have you ever witnessed the pruning of a grapevine or a fruit tree? You ever seen anybody do that?
Yes. Okay.
Is the gardener going to cut it back too far and kill it? That might be what you're thinking whenever you see it. And by the way, a gardener can cut it back too far and kill it. That's why you want the gardener to know what he's doing when he cuts back the vine or the branches. And guess who the gardener is? It's our Heavenly Father. Who is the vine? Jesus. We're the branches. The fruit is the Holy Spirit's fruit. And God the Father knows exactly what he's doing in our lives. Can you believe that? God the Father knows exactly what he's doing in our lives. And he knows that part that's not reflecting Christ. And guess what? He's going to put his finger on it. If that's your heart's desire. And when he puts his finger on it, you can fully rest in him and trust upon him. And guess what's going to happen in your life then? You'll have greater fruitfulness. Now, if you don't want your life to be wasted, you'll pray for the gardener to take over. Then you can rest. It probably won't be what you expect, but it'll be glorious. Let me say that again, too. It probably won't be what you expect, but it will be glorious. Because when you go through it and keep your face toward the Lord, guess what? You're going to be more like Jesus Christ. And that's the highest use of your life, a likeness to Jesus Christ. A skilled gardener knows how to cut back the branches just the right degree in order to ensure a fruitful vine. When believers are put in the refiner's fire, they can, like the goldsmith, know that the burning away of dross, which is dependence on other things or persons, is happening when they see the reflection of their face in the liquid. So in other words, if we get too dependent on things or other people, God might do something. That's not good. We don't want to make a God out of other people. We want God to be God. We have to be careful about making a God out of our spouse or our children or grandchildren or our job or our material things. We use them, things, for God's glory, but we don't abuse people in the process. As we face the Lord, we'll draw other people to the Lord as we're being drawn to the Lord. And God will accomplish what he wants to in our lives. The face that we want to see reflected as we look into the fire while having faith in God is the face of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to read these other verses first and then go to John 15. On your papers there, 1 Peter 4. 12, 13, and 19 is already printed out for you. Beloved, think it not strange or a strange thing concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, and it will be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls, that means place into someone's hands, to him in well-doing as into a faithful creator. The fiery trial will separate the impurities of self from my true faith and dependence on God and make me a better example of Christ. How many of you heard what's going on in California there? By the way, the reason why you want to stand with pastors in California, because here's how it goes. Whatever's allowed to fail there makes its way across the nation. I'll say that again. Whatever happens in California, whatever restrictions they put on believers in California, will make its way across the nation. That's been a pattern for years now. So when you have someone like John MacArthur standing and saying we can worship and the government's not supposed to limit what we're supposed to do, and now they want to take away their parking for the church. So they've been renting it, 25 or so years. And they want to take away that lease. By the way, I think it's $100,000 a year to lease the parking lot. But in that county, it's cheap. You know, the property is. So they know in that. And since John MacArthur stood with the Lord's command to come together, which the state tried to start forbidding things, they've been under persecution. So you have to make your decision, where am I going to stand? And what it did for me, I just, going through the Bible, I landed on Hebrews 10:25. It said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And I decided, I'm going to go with what I know to be true. I don't know about the rest of it. But I do know this says, don't forsake assembling together. I placed my actions on the word, that's called faith. And we've been meeting before John MacArthur and them came back together. We came back together. And I'm glad to see that he finally got it right. Amen, everyone. But that's part of doing what the Lord have you do. So we want to pray for that church tonight. It will affect us. We want to pray that they will stay strong. Thousands of people, you know, show up. They just began to show up, 100, 200, 300, 400. By the third week, 1,000 people showed up because they wanted to hear the word of God. They wanted fellowship together. They weren't getting anything from the media. They sensed that the power was weakening in the church because they weren't coming together. And so they decided to come together. And I think the Lord has blessed them ever since. Now, do you think it's strange to be persecuted for doing what's right? You need to read 1 Peter then. Don't think it's strange. It's a fiery trial, but it's a trial of testing. When we're in the fire, it'll show what we're depending on. When you're in the fire, that'll prove what you're depending on. What are you resting on? Well, it's got to be the Lord. And all God's people say, amen. Now, Father, as we look into this passage tonight, we're come to the reality that without you, nothing. Without you, Christ, nothing. Without your life coming through us, not one thing will glorify the Father. So we depend upon you tonight, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, to mature in us a likeness to yourself. And bring glory to the Father. Help us to be faithful to you, dear Lord, because no matter what, you will be faithful to us. We thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now John 15. We'll take a little more time here. John 15, Jesus is explaining life. He is not saying you have a church life, then you have a secular life, then you have a home life, then you have a school life, then you have a work life. He doesn't divide things like that one bit. He just plainly says, life is in him, and if you're going to have life, you've got to draw it from him. You can't produce it on your own, you can't make it up, and you can't fake it down. But you can draw from it. You have to yield to it. John 15:1, I am the true vine. That means, why did he say true? Because the rest are thieves and liars. Buddha's not going to give you life. He's not a true vine. A lot of people drinking from his teachings. Muhammad, that's not a true vine. A Mormon's teaching, do all the best you can and then trust the Lord. That's no life. A false Jehovah Witness. There's only 144,000 of us. I guess the rest of y'all going to hell. Oh, by the way, we don't believe in hell. There's no life there. No life is in Jesus Christ. Remember, it's His life in us. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. So who is the gardener trimming back the branches from the vine? It's God the Father. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Here he's just lifting up those branches that are on the ground. He takes them away from on the ground where they're not producing any fruit. He cuts them back so that the next season they'll have some fruitfulness. You know what the Lord said about Israel? 3 years I came by this fig tree and nothing's on it. Cut it down and cast it into the deepest. Oh, wait. Okay. Can we dig around it, cut it back, and give it a couple years just to see? Jesus said, okay. I'm so glad the Lord didn't just take us and decide to cut us and throw us away. How about it? Amen. Verse 3, now ye are clean. What's the avenue of cleanliness? The word, which I have spoken unto you. That's very important. If you listen to CNN, the non-clean connection, you're going to be so afraid. You won't know top from bottom, left to right. They call good evil and evil good. And you're going to start thinking that way and acting that way. And it's lies. You better get your mind back in hearing the word and the word of God. You're listening. We're always listening to someone's word. We have to compare that to the word of Christ. The word abide here, verse 4, means fellowship, to share life together. So when we come into the house of God, we ought to be desirous of sharing the word together and living what we learn. Live what you learn. That's a good prayer. Dear Lord, help me live the word. Help me live the word. Good prayer every day there. Abide in me and I in you. You see the union there, Christ in us. And here's the reason. Verse 4, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, you don't produce it, you bear it. Except it abide in me, a vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So it's that intimate connection with Christ, drawing from his life. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. If the vine's dead, the branches will be dead. But the vine's not dead, is he? He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth how much? Much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So now we've gone from fruit to much fruit. I want more fruit in my life. Verse 2. And now much fruit, abundant fruit, is starting to come. It actually gets even higher down in verse 8, which we'll close tonight. But look at verse 6. An illustration. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Why? Because he's not connected to the vine. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Good firewood, right? Dead branch. I understand that the best firewood is a dead branch that's not laying on the ground. It's leaning against the tree, but it's rotting. It's leaning, but it's not connected. Nice firewood. Verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words, that's the abiding. Remember, there's a lot of people speaking. That's why he said, my word. Verse 3, remember verse 3, which I have spoken, the word which I have spoken. He's not going to change the word. I like that. Past tense, I've already told you. So verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. I can't tell you how many times that's flashed in my mind when I get ready to pray. Am I walking in fellowship with the Lord? I should be praying with confidence then. If I'm praying and asking God's will on something, I should be confident. I'm going to get it. I'm going to have His will. Now, Lord, should I go over here and buy and sell and get gain for a year? That's out of what book, by the way? What book says, I'm going to go over here and buy and sell and get gain, and I don't even know if I'm considering the Lord or not? What book? Anybody know? It's the book of James. But rather, instead of saying, I'm going over here for a year and buy and sell and get gain, I should say, Lord willing, we're going to go over here for a year, buy and sell and get gain. Remember, we studied the book of Ruth, and when Naomi and her husband decided to go away from the house of prayer, they thought they might be there a year till the famine was past. And how long was it? Just a couple lines later in the story? 10 years had passed. And by the way, he never made it back. He died. And remember, the two sons died too. So then you got three widows there. Thankfully, two of them decided to follow the Lord. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. That's simply praying, Lord, if it's your will, great, and if it's not, I accept it. What's wrong with praying that way? What are you going to do when you have two job opportunities? Well, Maria had two job opportunities. First of all, no job. There's a test. Cutting grass with Dad. And she didn't care much for that. Still doesn't care much for that. But Dad had a plan. And that is, if you're not working, you're working with him. That's a plan. I have a very simple philosophy. You like to eat, don't you? That's how I get them. You like to eat? Yeah, okay. Well, then you must like to work. And another thing I do too, when I get, I go get the groceries. I just, you know, that's just the way it is. Because my wife teaches early in the morning, you know, like 5:30 to 9:30 or something like that. This week she's substituting the public school, the little ones. But generally she's online teaching, you know, English to Chinese students, first grade, stuff like that. Anyways, where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, so I get the groceries. I just did that since homeschooling days when we had the kids in homeschooling. And so I get the groceries to come back. By the way, it helps me limit the spending too, Gary. There's another thing going on there. Don't worry about that. Anyway, so I bring the groceries home. And what do I do when I get there? You, go get the groceries. You can walk them up the steps. And the same thing. You like to eat, don't you? I've already carried it one time. You can carry it now. Anybody have a problem with that here? I don't think. No, I shouldn't have a problem with that. No. But a possibility of two jobs, what do you do then? Well, you've got to pray and say, Lord, what do you think I ought to do? And then the Holy Spirit will give you peace as to what to do. In life like that, no definite job, then two possibilities of job. So we're going to go over here and buy and sell and get gain, or what is the Lord's will? And that's what you need to pray all the time about things. Is it the Lord's will? So in verse 8, we went from the first, it was much more fruit, then much fruit. And this word is even more abundant in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You know, every now and then a minister gets criticized on philosophy. Have you ever heard of that? Can you imagine that? But anyways, he does. And somebody said, you know, we haven't gone door to door in this church in a long time. Well, apparently, I mean, evangelism. Apparently, they haven't been around that long. We've probably, in the almost 20 years I've been here, we've done that four or five times, just to let you know. Okay. Anybody wants to go door to door again, who's stopping you? I'll just throw that out there. I don't see anybody stopping you. But anyways, so I said, okay, we're going to go witnessing on Thursday and Saturday. And like A.W. Tozer said, the cursed program has hit again. Did you get that? Huh? Everybody's waiting on some cursed program to do the will of God. What does he mean by that? He means this. You mean to tell me you're not going to witness on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, or Sunday if you get an opportunity? What's wrong with you? See what I mean? And if you read my blogs, listen to this. What I'm leading in this way, I try to witness to somebody. Are you ready for this? Every day. So if you want to follow a pattern, follow that one. What do you think about that, Edith? I think that's the way to do it. Yeah. All right. The refiner's fire. Whew. Are you sure you want to pray that? Well, I wouldn't pray that lightly. But if you just sense there just seems to be some waste going on in my life, just tell God you want more fruit. I mean, for instance, this COVID business came on, and they said, Barna believes, they say by survey, the number one group of people binging on TV, movies, etc., is guess who? The church people. Because they're used to going to church, and now that they're not going to church, they got to fill it with something else. Well, I can tell you this, the more people get used to not coming to church, the more likely they won't come back to church. That's for sure. So let's just go back to the Bible and ask the Lord to trim the fat out of our lives, because we do want this likeness to Jesus Christ. It's just a matter of how much you value it. How much do you value it? Well, believe me, it's worthy of our whole life. Thank God that our Father is the husbandman, and he won't be reckless. All God's people say, amen.